Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Network, your global transformation station. Hallelujah and good evening, everyone. Welcome to Sister for this Wednesday, March 17th, 2021. Now, I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, and I'm here with my beautiful sister and co-host, Evangelist Michelle Scott. Glory to God. And we are just so blessed that you have joined us here on tonight. And we are just going to begin now with the word of prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. With Evangelist Michelle Scott. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Bishop. May we all bow our heads and come boldly before the throne of grace for a word of prayer. Lord God, first we thank you, Father God, for blessing us to see another day, one that our eyes has never seen before. We thank you for our health and our strength, and I just thank you for blessing me to stand in the gap for your children, Lord God. I lift up all of the sick and shut in all around this entire world. I pray blessings and healing upon all of them in Jesus' name. Bless every man, woman, boy, and girl afflicted with any kind of disease plaguing their bodies, Lord God. Touch them with finger of love, Father God. Touch them with your finger of healing, Father God. Heal them from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet, Heavenly Father. Just spread healing all around the world. Father God, bless this network, Father God, and the message that we're putting out today, that some man, woman, boy, or girl would hear it and would be very pleased with it and would learn something from it. Father God, I ask that you bless the angel of this ministry, Bishop Cook, Father God, that she will continue to pour into all of us and that she will continue to pour into all the listeners. Bless all the listeners, Father God. All of them all around the world, Lord God. Bless them as they continue to tune into this program and all other programs that come before them. Oh, Lord God, we ask that you bless the nation and all of the offices of the nation, Father God. We ask that you bless every church that's still operating and the shepherds that are standing firmly on your word and preaching and teaching their flock. Oh, Father God, we ask that you just continue to strengthen us here at Spirit Alive, that we can continue to bring forth positive messages. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, and to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Well, on tonight, saints of God, our program is entitled,
hallelujah,
Who's Watching Our Children Really? And tonight we're going to be discussing, among other things, for-profit daycare versus faith-based daycare. Because, you know, if you're a time-crunched working parent, it is hard to find child care that you can rely on. But again, tonight we're coming before you to ask you, how well do you really know the person watching your children? Because more than half of children under 5 years old are at a child care while their parents work. And this is according to the American Academy of Pediatrics. Now, government regulators license workers, and they do inspect facilities. But do background checks really catch warning signs and weed out the abusers? If so, why are there so many cases of abuse by child caregivers? And why does it seem to be on the rise? And what about the increase of in-home and faith-based daycare centers? Are they safer? Choosing the right daycare service for your child can be one of the most stressful and time-consuming ventures that you may ever have to undertake. Why? Because your child is precious to you. And for your own sanity, you need to have a dependable daycare service. Now, just the sheer number of daycares and the diverse curriculums alone can make choosing the right one very difficult. But first, before I get into some things, I want you to know that there are some steps that you can use to guide your decision in choosing a daycare that will help you narrow your choices and also give you some peace of mind. Amen. All right. Now, before you begin looking for a daycare center, first you need to pray. And you need to consider what attributes or defining factors are important to you and your child. Then you need to make a list of these factors, and you need to rank them from most important to least important. You know, check out how close this daycare is to your place of employment. You know, always put that at the top of your list. And if you are looking for a faith-based background, then you need to make sure that, you know, first of all, it still lines up with your teaching, because there are Methodist daycares, Lutheran daycares, Catholic daycares. So, you know, as a believer, I know most of us will find or believe that it is better to put our child in a faith-based daycare than a secular one. But once you made your list, you know, of all the things that you need, you need to do your due diligence. You need to go online to sites such as the National Association for the Education of Young Children or the National Association of Family Child Care, and you need to look up some things that, you know, and do your due diligence about some of these daycares. Then, once you have your list, you've done your research, and you narrow down your choices that meet the needs of you and your child, you need to go make a little visit. You need to meet that staff and director. And before you go, you should write down some key questions about the services that they provide. You know, ask them questions about food, sleeping, discipline. All these things should be on your list. Also ask about fees and payment schedules, as well as any daycare policy statements they have. It also will not hurt to ask for a tour of their facilities and get a feel for the environment your child is going to be in day to day. Amen. Ultimately, the choice will be yours to make, but having the most information possible will make the choice easier and will give you more peace of mind. Remember that your priorities list will help you find the best daycare for your child, because knowing that your child is being well cared for and taught the same values you uphold can bring you a lot of peace while you're at work. Now, not to be one-sided, not to be unfair, because, you know, I know what I believe, and I know we know what we who we are, but I always give both sides of the coin. So the first thing I'm going to address is, what does a secular daycare offer? Well, one thing about it is a secular daycare typically does not emphasize any particular credo or value system. This can be a confusing to a young child who's looking for guidance from parents or other adults. A child in a secular daycare being raised by Christian parents may be taught one thing at home and another thing at daycare. This is a critical time in a young person's life. And so you need to know that, you know, your child is being taught the same, you know, by their daycare provider, the same, their values are lining up with yours, you know. Because you have to think about what you're really doing in essence. Choosing a daycare is essentially choosing a substitute parent to raise your child while you are at work. Now, therefore, that's why it's such a big decision to make. It's a crucial decision. You need to ask yourself, does this daycare represent my values and morals? How does the secular daycare handle problem solving, conflict, and teaching of moral values? How do they handle issues of faith, loss, grief, and daily decisions of right and wrong? For Christian parents, choosing a Christian daycare for your child can mean the difference between your child understanding their faith and utter confusion. So what can Christian daycares offer? Excuse me. A Christian daycare can teach your child the same basic learning skills that a secular daycare can, with the addition of a Christian-based curriculum. These daycares offer exercise and playtime, snacks and meals, nap time, and often teach basic lessons designed to help your child get a head start in school. The real difference is that a Christian daycare offers the same life lessons and skills through the teaching and memorization of the scripture and biblical values. Many Christian daycares integrate Bible teachings into everyday activities. Some even hold little Bible studies. So to the Christian parent, the learning of God's word is the most important skill your child can be taught. Without clear training and teaching, your child can easily become confused by the many religious beliefs and the ideologies that are confusing ideologies of this world. If you decide to choose a Christian daycare, like I said before, choosing the right one is also essential. You still need to go through the same process in choosing a Christian daycare as you do a secular one. So you want to just consider the denomination of the child care, you know,
Because it doesn't matter that, you know, children, small babies do not care whether it's a Baptist daycare, Methodist daycare, Lutheran daycare. All they want to know is can they get a Capri Sun and a bag of chips. That's all them kids worried about, okay? They do not care about what denomination that daycare is. But I want you to remember, saints of God, that the word of God says to train up a child in the way that they should go. And when he is old, he will not turn from it. And you know, historically, daycare and other community organizations, including those in the African-American communities, have always played an important role in the education of children and families. And today, our communities honor this legacy by continuing to strengthen and empower families to advocate for their children's education. And as with all families, African-American families help their children positively develop when healthy adults support them in becoming confident, well-educated, and a contributing member of society, and also a contributing member of the kingdom of God. Yes, faith-based daycares and community centers play a critical role in shaping positive family environments and building family networks. Faith-based and community organizations can be great spaces to promote early learning opportunities, family empowerment, and networking. So, when we talk about family and community coming together, engaging, that should be an ongoing process that strengthens participation, communication, and collaboration between parents, families, caregivers, schools, and faith-based and community organizations with the goal of educating and meeting the needs of the whole child to ensure student achievement and success. When we come together and engage, it gives us an opportunity for families to engage with families with and school personnel. And again, faith-based and community leaders, you know, and we can sit down and talk about the roles of parents and caregivers in their child's education through home visiting, ongoing scheduled meetings, conferences, open houses, and other activities. There is an overwhelming evidence that suggests that family and a community involvement together, coming together, is a really promotes higher grades and test scores. It causes the students to have a higher level of academic achievements. As they get older, they seem to be promoted or pass their classes. They attend school regularly. When we come together as community, as family and caregivers and early learning education care developers, we can help to maintain positive peer relationships. We can start shaping their language. We can start giving them self-help skills and, you know, teaching them how to socialize, how to adapt, how to navigate. So we want you to know and understand that we need to do, you know, it is so easy to go off, drop your child off somewhere, and leave your child there, you know, and think because you're paying them X amount of dollars and cents that your child is safe. That is not the case. You need to know who's taking care of your children. You need to do your homework. You need to drop in often. You need to ask a lot of questions. You need to check the Better Business Bureau. You know, and I'm just going to tell you, this is from my own opinion. One of the things I've noticed the difference between secular and faith-based daycares is this. If a child goes into a secular daycare, for the most part, as long as they get their X amount of dollars and cents, they really don't care what's going on with your child. Whereas if a mother Givens or a mother Matt T is babysitting your child, and your child comes in there with bruises on them, or they come in there looking, they're usually bubbly and full of life, but now they come dragging in like they don't want to be there. Well, these ladies are going to start asking some questions. And they're going to be talking to those mothers, asking what's going on with this child. You know, you're not, you might show up at a secular daycare whenever you want to because you want to go out and have a cocktail with the girls. But you're not going to keep doing that to Mother Mattie or Mother Givens. Uh-uh. It ain't going to happen. Because, see, they're going to want to know why you can't come and get your child after work like everybody else. They're going to be praying for you, and then they're going to be praying for them, and then they're going to be sitting down having a conversation with that mother. Because, see, it's not about the dollars and cents for many faith-based caregivers, child caregivers. You know, they treat your children the same way they treat their own. They want them to get it. They want them to be well-adjusted. They're concerned. If something's going on with your child, they're not going to go running. They're going to ask you about it. They're going to work with you on it. They're not just going to let it go. So, you know, we are blessed because our very own Evangelist Michelle Scott was a daycare provider. And I know that as a daycare provider, she can, we're going to take it out to the streets because she probably has some stories that she can tell. And she can also speak to the fact of her own personal experience of being a Christian child care provider. Amen?
Amen, Bishop. Thank you for all that information. It was wonderful. And, yes, I did have a child care, faith-based family child care for 2 years, and then I changed it into a faith-based preschool. And so, yeah, I was blessed to upgrade. And we do things a little differently. And one of the things that I found myself doing, because I came in contact with a lot of young mothers, very young mothers, and one thing that I noticed was that they didn't spend a lot of time trying to figure me out or to interview me. You know, they would make appointments for me to do an interview with them, and I would have to stop in the middle because they were so ready to just get the paperwork done. And I was trying to explain them I would be here for a week. They were on a trial basis or they would be there for a week to 2 weeks. And by the Wednesday of the second week, they would know if they would be fully accepted into the daycare because I had to make sure that they meshed with the other kids. And so I noticed that they just wanted to sign the papers and everything. And I used to tell them, you know, you guys, you spend more time picking out a pair of shoes or picking out an outfit to go out to the club than you do to pick out a daycare provider for your children. And like my sister said, the child care provider is like a second parent to the child. And the child sometimes pay more attention and respond more better to the child care provider than they do the parent after a while, because I had some children who the parents would call me on the weekends and say, well, so-and-so isn't doing this or they're not doing this. Could you get them to behave? And I'm like, wait, I'm off duty. So, you know, I had to get to do not even just child care, but you find yourself as a child care provider being a counselor as well. So when you become a child care provider, you have to know that. And if you love children like you love God and you love yourself, you're going to treat those, like my sister said also, you're going to treat those children, if you have children, like your own, or if you have nieces or nephews, you're going to treat those children like they're your own. And one thing that I did when I put up my policies, my rules and regulations and my policies, I made sure that I put in there letting them know that this is a faith-based preschool or child care, because you can find that sometimes when a parent feels that things aren't going their way, they can say, well, you're teaching my child to pray and we don't pray, and they'll try to sue you. So you have to really, really cover yourself when you're doing your rules and regulations and your policies as a provider. You have to really stipulate, sit down and think about what you want to put in those policies. And parents, don't just let the person interview you. You interview them, like my sister was saying. You go and you visit that facility, and you tell them to give you a tour. You want a tour when children are there and when children are not there. You know, just like when you're looking for a house, you look in the daytime and you look at the nighttime. You want to see how that provider responds around children when they're at recess time. You don't want to come when they're taking a nap. You want to come when the children are active and running around, because you want to see the temperament of the provider. You want to ask that provider, what's the ratio of children to provider? Because it's normally six children, then that's fine for one provider. But once they go over six, they need to have an assistant with them. So you can't have like one provider and then she has 12 kids. That's not legal. So you want to make sure that there's enough people there caring. And then you have to be careful. If you have an infant and this provider is taking care of infants and she's taking care of elementary school kids, that's like teens, that's not a good fit. Because those bigger kids may knock the babies over, the toddlers and things of that nature. So you as parents, you need to really look out. I had one parent who was actually, she came about me by way of God, because she had an appointment at another facility. But when she got there, I guess the lady forgot about her. She said she was knocking on the door. And she was knocking and knocking, and she peeked through the window. She said she saw beer bottles and cans all over the table. And she was like, oh, my goodness, this is where my child would have been coming. So she said she just was driving around aimlessly, and she made a wrong turn, and bam, she ran into my daycare, and she buzzed the buzzer, and she asked me, did I have time to talk to her? I told her not right now because my babies were napping, but I gave her an application. And then later I wind up accepting her child into the daycare.
Amen.
And I had her child from a couple of months until she was 5 years old and went into the kindergarten. Sad to say that she passed away last year. The young girl was killed in an automobile accident. But she was a beautiful young girl. But you parents, please, please, children are gifts from God. They are gifts from God.
Yes, amen.
You need to cherish them. Cherish them. There are so many people who would love to have a child in just one little split second. One little split second, a child care provider can turn their head. Something can happen if they're not equally balanced. If they've got too many kids, that could be your child's life. That's
amen.
Something can happen because you didn't take the time to ask the right questions, get the right information. Say, for instance, your child has a special diet. They need to know about that. If you're a Muslim and you don't eat certain things, or you are vegan or stuff, that thing, those things need to be put on the application. There's food programs, voucher programs. They will give the provider, but they will give them discounts, and they will pay, give them monies back for them buying special food. So it's not going to hurt them to go out and shop for your child and get them the special nourishment that they need. So you put all that down. And if your child has a special need, I would always tell my parents, it's better for you to tell me what the special need is so I can help your child than you to try to withhold it from me. And then your child has an episode or something, and I don't know what's going on. If your child has asthma, you tell it to me, and then they're having an attack, and I'm looking at them like, what's going on? Or they're having a seizure, and I didn't know because you didn't tell me. You didn't hurt me. You hurt your child because you didn't disclose to me that your child has seizures. So it's better for you to disclose whatever ailments your child has. You need to be on eye to eye with your provider as a parent. You need to be able to go to work. What I used to tell my parents, I don't want you to be so uncomfortable that you're calling here every 5 seconds. I want you to be so comfortable that you're at work and you're not even thinking about your child. You know, you're thinking about them because you love them, but you're not thinking about them like, oh, what's going on? What's going on in a worried state?
Amen.
That's not all about you want your children to be. So God bless you all. Be mindful of where you're letting your children stay. God bless you all.
Oh, thank you for that, Evangelist Michelle. Thank you, precious one. And now we're going to change gears a moment, and we have joining us here on Sister to Sister a young man tonight, and his name is Brother Corey Travis. And he, too, he has a program, and I'm going to ask him to come forth now and introduce himself and tell us about himself and his program. God bless you. Brother Travis, you welcome to the Spirit Alive studio.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here this evening. I have heard some good gems and some good nuggets and some great things from the last speaker, so I'm excited about that. I am Corey Travis, and I hail from the city of Memphis, Tennessee. And so here in Memphis, Tennessee, I have birthed a organization by the name of Memphis Youth Arts Initiative. And so Memphis Youth Arts Initiative is very simple. It's in Memphis, so that's the city we're in. Youth is who we target. Art is what we use to bring to bake the children in, and initiative means to do something. And so we're a community performing arts program, and we are considered by the government a child and youth services organization. So we provide opportunities for students and young people from the age of 7 to 17 to experience learning how to play an instrument, drums. They can learn how to dance. They can learn how to act in theater. We also have choirs, so they can learn how to sing. We also have a color guard, so they can learn the techniques of twirling when it comes to flags and rifles. And so we also bring all those groups together to create a community marching band, and we perform as a marching band in the city and throughout other places.
Amen. So now, how do you go to schools? How do you recruit the young people? Is it by word of mouth? Do people drop in? Just exactly how do the parents get their children to you?
So that process is very funny. Usually most of my recruits come from when we're out and we're doing things, we're performing. We also have a real good online presence. So we have a YouTube page, we have a Facebook page, Instagram, as well as a working website. And we have a lot of visitors to our website to inquire. But mostly our recruits come from when we go out and perform. Other parents are excited to see the kids performing, and they ask about the program and how can their child get involved. We do a lot of recruiting in the summertime versus any other time of the year, so that's pretty much how that works.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, tell me, Corey, you know, are you using their gifts and their talents as a springboard to higher learning? Because we're big on education here. So my question is, you know, yes, this is performing arts, but we know that performing arts can be a springboard to other things. So are you incorporating an educational curriculum with the performing arts curriculum or no?
We definitely are. We definitely are, yes. We do that in a major way, and I'm excited about that portion. One reason why I started the nonprofit is because I had been doing marching band performing arts with schools for the last maybe 12 years. And one thing that bothered me in my spirit as a spiritual person, as a Christian, was that some of the needs and things that the children needed or some of the things the children were going through were not common, were not surface things. They were spiritual things. They were
right.
Enemy-driven things. They were things that only a person in spiritual, a Christian mind would know what was the reason why things were like they were for their child or happening for their child. So all the children that would come to my school program, I would spend more time with them than other teachers and administrators. And a lot of times some of the conversations that I would hear of other teachers and principals and administrators about certain children they didn't like or certain children or parents they didn't like, it rubbed me the wrong way because I knew them more deeply than they did.
Amen.
And so you wouldn't judge. You know what I'm saying? You wouldn't judge if you do that situation. Just because, you know, there's all, it, to me, in working in the school system, there has been a true hard notion that those people in the school system are better than those of the students, especially in the inner city school system like I work for. And so it was big to me to have them in my performing arts program after school, and was able to build those relationships. And so it made me grow this ideal, and God helped me to form this nonprofit so I can spend all of my time and not have any restrictions on how I could help my community and help my kids. So let me bring this band to my own private thing, and now I can offer counseling. I can offer mentorship. I can talk about their character. I can treat them just like they're my children. Just like you said earlier, they are my children. They're my care.
Amen.
I have to care for them. We take them out of town hundreds of miles away. So I couldn't dare take 85 kids, 85, you know, hundreds of miles away from their parents and not treat their child as if they're my own.
Amen.
That's happened to them.
Amen,
you
Corey.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Amen. That's how it should be. And so I was able to birth what I got. And so now we have, because they are performing arts students, they do come to our center to answer your question. Now they are made mandatory to get community service hours. We also have what we call empowerment sessions. So every single Monday, 52 Mondays out of the year, everybody has to come to the center. They have to meet in all ages, and we pour into them for 3 hours. And we have topics. So I guess, for an example, to answer your question, for the month of March, our topic for the month is good habits and discipline. And so Monday, our subtopic was watch the clock, time management. We're going to talk about time management. So we talked about time management for 3 hours. We had a special guest on Zoom from Missouri who's a recruiter for Lincoln University, and he also is in the Army, and he also owns his own business. So he was a perfect person to speak to them and pour into them about the topic of time management. So they were able to take notes. They're made to sit there and listen. And then after that, we have another hour of Q&A. We talk about our real-life situations and how time management applies to those things. Procrastination, spending too much time on Instagram, spending too much time on the phone. Just everything that I see them doing on a daily basis, we're touching that point. And we're going to be that light in the community or that person in their life that says, hey, you can go this direction, you can go this direction. But while you're such a talented young person, because you can really dance, because you can really play the drums, right now we're trying to get your character right. So when you do get to that college, you won't make that mistake and go smoke that weed, or you go over here and won't do this, or get into such a stressful situation and you don't know God. and you don't know where to get your help from. You're by yourself in college, or you're in the military, or you're starting a new job, or whatever it may be. That's what we're trying to do.
Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. And we, and it's so, what you know, when I heard about this young man, I've walked with Apostle Jay Leon a long time, and she's my sweetheart. She's my little sister. And when I heard about this young man, I said, oh, hallelujah. We need to let the world know that this young man exists, because it is so important for people, for our babies, black and brown and yellow, you know, children of color, to see people of color doing things in excellence, whether it's performing arts or whether they're learning to draw their first picture in daycare, or whether they're, you know, they're learning to share, or they're getting their, you know, or they're getting to a point where they're preparing during their college prep work, whatever the case may be, they need to see and hear that, and know that we are here, that we are out here. We have phenomenal educators here to Spirit Alive. And you know, because, and the thing about it is, we're up as daycare providers, as after school program providers, as teachers, you know, we don't just show children, okay, we're an authority. We don't just show them our discipline. We show them our heart.
Compassion.
So that we show them our compassion. We show them that there is still love in the world, that there are people that really care about their good. And today we have so many young people that are being, you know, they feel like they're being abandoned. They're being dumped off. You know, they're being set in front of televisions. They're being set in front of telephones. They're being set in front of tablets and computers. And, you know, while mama and daddy go off and do their thing, whatever that thing may be, it might be a thing in the church. But when you're not there, the reason that you're not there isn't important to the child. The fact that you know, you have to place them somewhere is. So, you know, we have to be mindful of who we place our, you know, they need to know that there are people out here that will take care of your child, that will treat your child like Jesus would treat your child. And we know what Jesus says about his children and doing anything crazy or corrupt to his children. I do believe his word says you would rather have a millstone. That's 2,000 pounds around your neck than to mess with one of his babies.
Amen.
Now, when he said that, he talking about all of his babies. Now, if he feel like that about us big grown rusty people, how do you think he feel about his real babies? You know?
Yeah, God.
You know what I'm saying? How do we think he feels about his real children? And let me tell you something, parents. I'm not telling you where to place your child. I'm telling you that wherever you do place your child, they need to be in places like Brother Travis has, or they need to be in a daycare like Evangelist Michelle had. You know, they need to be where you know that your child is not being abused, misused, set in a corner. We see on the news almost every day where we see daycare workers that are hitting kids and yelling at kids and allowing kids to you know, just really atrocities. So before you place your child anywhere, you need to pray. You need to talk to the Father. And then if you go in somewhere and something in your spirit isn't right, but the price is, you better go what's in your spirit.
Come on.
Okay? Because just how much is your child's well-being? How much is your child's life worth?
Come on.
You can play, and let me tell you something, young sisters. I know that you think, oh, I love my babysitter. She's just like their grandma. But just because that is the case, you think that's the case. That might not always be the case. Let me explain to you what you do to your child when you don't come and pick your child up on time. Let's say there's no, all the children have come, the parents have come, and they picked up their children, and yours is still there. Well, it's like my sister Michelle said, as soon as 5 o'clock comes, that baby, that daycare provider might start their evening with their beers or their cocktails or whatever, whether your child is still there or not. They might start allowing people to come in and out. And your child is still there. And what have you done? You have removed all the deterrents to keep your that you may have had to keep your child safe. Because now during the daytime, they can't have strange people running in and out. In the daytime, there's other people that may be dropping in and out any time of the day. But when you want to go out with the girls after work and you leave your child at that babysitter's and you don't really know that babysitter, you don't know that child care provider, you don't know that after school program provider, then you are doing your child a disservice. But I just, you know, Brother Corey, I just want to thank you for the work that you're doing. And, you know, one of the things that I have found, and I'm just going to ask you this also, is the children that you deal with, since they are in the inner cities, a lot of them, they already know that life in this country has been stacked against them.
Oh, yeah.
They already many of them believe that they are worthless, they are nothing, because, see, they're growing up in this generation of children having children. So, you know, so a lot of these young ladies are telling their kids, you ain't going to be nothing like your daddy. You ain't going to be this. You ain't going to do that. So when we come along as pastors and teachers and we try to build your kids up, sometimes I find that we first have to go build the parents up.
Oh, yeah.
Because
they
feel trapped. They feel hopeless. They feel broken. They don't feel empowered. You know, they go to jobs. They go to CNA jobs. They go to menial jobs, and they still don't have enough money to, you know, to make it.
You hit the head on the nail with them.
You know, so we've got to do so. It's so important for all of us to come together as that village, as, you know, the pastors, the teachers, the daycare providers, the after-school providers. We need to be preparing a safety net for these young people so that they will have a place to go, so they don't have to just go home and be by themselves, or they just go hang out on the street corner. Because if we don't raise our children, the streets will.
Yes, indeed.
And the sooner the devil can get his hooks into them, the better he likes it. So we just wanted to, I just really am concerned about, you know, our children are so important. And a lot of times, you know, for a long time, we found that sex trafficking was perpetrated through foster care and through certain daycares. And so we have to do our homework. And just because they say they're a Christian organization doesn't mean you're supposed to let your guard down. because we know there's everybody that hollers Lord, Lord does not love him. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to open this thing on up and allow the rest of you to have a word, hallelujah, or comment. If you have a comment or question for Brother Corey, you want to encourage this young man. He out here trying to make a difference, and that just blesses my soul when I see young brothers doing it for the Lord and doing it in a big way. But if you have a comment or a question, please press your 1. And I will bring you on into the studio. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, as I'm scrolling, we will bring in some of the hallelujah. We're going to bring in Mother Mattie. She got in on the buzzer. Good evening, ma'am. I'm Mother Givens. Mother Givens, good evening, ma'am.
Good evening. Are you ready for me?
Yes, ma'am. I'm
Hello?
Ready.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just want to thank you. This was a beautiful topic today for the young mothers and parents. I remember as a younger girl, well, I won't say that, at the church, I taught the nursery kids, and they are my most special love. I just love little children. And just to say something to the parents who take their children to babysitters. I think when the child comes home, it's a good thing to ask, what you learn today? Did you meet friends? Did you like going to daycare today? Or what did you have for breakfast or lunch? Or did you have a nap? And do you think you would like to go back tomorrow? You have to just talk to the children as much as you would talk to the caretaker. There's
That's
a caretaker
good.
Across the street from me, and she has about 10 little children, and they're in ages 3 to maybe 4 or 5. And they're the most precious things, and they'd be in their little wagons, those little things that they roll them around in. And it just gives me great joy to see these young children and the parents who come to pick them up. So we just have to love our kids more and give praise to those who are caring for our children. So I just thank you for this beautiful program tonight, and I hope their young parents are listening. And that young man who just spoke, I want to congratulate him, as well as Bishop Cook, you, and Evangelist Michelle Scott. Thank you for listening.
God bless you, Mother Givens. God bless you, ma'am. We love you. All right, we're going to bring Mother Mattie into the house. God bless you. Mother Mattie, come on in the room.
Yes, God bless you too, Bishop Cook and Evangelist Cook and all the Spirit of Life family, Mrs. Givens, and everyone that's listening. That topic was a wonderful topic. It was very enlightening. That is true. Just like you would shop and take things out thorough, the parents are supposed to check the daycare centers thorough to make sure that the children is being treated right, not being abused or nothing like that. So that's very, very enlightening. Like I always say, our young people is the future for tomorrow. God bless all the children everywhere. And God bless you, Bishop Cook.
God bless you, ma'am.
Michelle Scott. God bless the Spirit of my family for the young man that's making a difference. God bless him. And God bless him and continue to keep the good work up.
Amen, Mother Maggie. God bless you, ma'am.
Amen.
We love
you. Thank you. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
And Bishop,
we thank you.
Bishop.
Yes,
Bishop
ma'am.
Cook.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Keep Michelle Scott's mother in prayer. Keep her mother in prayer. Keep Charlotte Fredrickson in prayer. Charlotte is going to Louisiana.
Yes,
sister.
Ma'am.
For her sister's home going, keep Charlotte Fredrickson's family in prayer. Keep the Scott mom in prayer and the Scott family. Keep Mrs. Givens in prayer. Keep Deacon Bradley in prayer. And please continue to keep me in prayer. I tell you, when you, I have to say this, when you have made God your choice, you made Jesus your choice, the devil's throwing darts at you at every end. Like Paul say, when he tried to do good, it's evil on every hand, and it certainly is. And just like Paul had a thorn in his side, we have thorns in our sides too. But we do have to put on the whole armor of God. But I thank God for you, Bishop Cook. God bless you.
God bless you, Brother
and your program and all the Spirit of Life family. Thank you. God bless you all. And I love
you
all.
God bless you, Belle. We love you too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Area code 510, last four digits, 6942. Good evening.
Hello, this is Barbara.
Hi, Miss Barbara.
How are you?
I'm blessed, ma'am. So good to hear your voice.
It's good to hear yours. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you so much. I want to tell you, my brother-in-law woke up. He's breathing on his own. They removed him from ICU. He's doing a lot better, but still got a ways to go. So thank you very, very much. I enjoyed your program. I don't always say anything, but I had to say something tonight. I really enjoyed that man that was talking. It sounds like he's doing a good job. I encourage him to continue to do a good job. But I encourage you and Michelle to continue to do what you guys do. So thank you very, very much. I appreciate you guys very much. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you. We love you. And, yes, we will indeed continue to keep you and your family lifted up in prayer. That's for sure. Amen. We're going to go down to God bless you. We're going to go down to our friends in Arizona. We're going to go down now to Prophetess Kathleen and Apostle Edwin Holloway. Praise the Lord.
All right, Arizona.
Praise God. What we did here, we were a little bit late, but this is a wonderful program, Brother Corey and I. We could just hear the compassion for the children and the passion. It was beautiful, and I kept thinking about being, for the parents have to be careful and prayerful. We've got to be watchful where we send our children. And I thank God for the performing arts part, because sometimes we children, when they're very young, but if they're not around the right people to encourage them in that, they get into other things. Or,
yes, amen.
You know,
that's good.
Yes, and so this is so good. It sounds like a beautiful program. God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you, Prophetess. God bless you, Brother Corey. We thank God for you and your compassion for the children. Many times in each home, there's the father is missing. And so when they grow up, there's no stabilization in the family. And mama's gone to work, and most of the children are latchkey children. And so they come home or they don't come home, and they stay out in the evening until they think mama get home, and they get into all kinds of stuff. So
yes.
We thank God for your program, and I know that it's going to grow, and your program is going to go from one state to the next state. It's going to grow.
Amen.
because God is touching you. God is leading and guiding you. Folks are going to come, and they're going to sit down and want to hear from you so that they can work that same program in their town, in their city.
Yes.
So we want to encourage you in Jesus' name.
Yeah, God.
Amen.
Yeah, God.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle. Thank you so much. All right, God bless you. All right, Pastor Jeffrey Scott, you know we go, hey, last but not least, come on in the room.
Amen. This was a wonderful program. I was just
you know, kind of reminiscing about when Sister Michelle, when she had her daycare and then turned it into the preschool, and how effective it was for the children as well as the parents. You know, sometimes it's not like the word says, you know, and a child shall lead them. Sometimes what a child can bring home to a parent can help the parent grow into better parenting.
Come on now.
The lack of parenting skills. And so, you know, when I think about what Brother Travis is doing, you know, he's using what he already has in his hand, like God told Moses, what is that in your hand? He's already been doing this for 12 years and decided to go with the nonprofit. So he's using what God has already gifted him to use in order to affect these young children, and it can build up in their own home from these children learning from him. And from that, it also could spread throughout, you know, it could spread from city to city. It could spread wherever God sees fit that it'll spread. But the thing is that he's using what God has already placed in him, and he's using what's in his hand. He's not trying to go somewhere else and try to do what somebody else does, but he's doing what God put in his heart to do. And so that's the same thing that we did when we had the daycare and the preschool.
Yes.
It was what God had put in our hearts, and we saw that it was effective. So I know what you're doing is very effective, brother Travis, and I you know, I applaud you for that, and I thank God for you, because you could be a leader in a way of having others to look to the program that you use to see how they could develop something else. So God bless you, and keep it up, keep doing it, and just God bless you.
Yes, sir.
Amen. To God be the glory. And as of this moment, as of tonight, the world is going to know about your program, Brother Travis, because the one wonderful thing about this network is that it is a global network. We are heard from the USA to the UK to Russia and China. We're even heard in the Holy Land. So, you know, we know that God is a mighty God, and he can do great things when he has someone like yourself, Brother Corey, that is available. You know, and as Pastor Scott also brought up another wonderful point, use what's in your hand. For those of us that we might not run daycare centers, but we have access to people that want to donate coloring books and crayons and certain things. You know, I partner with Party City, and I'm able to bless daycare centers and things of the like, and different mothers in the community that take care of children. So we have to use what's in our hands as well. If we're not doing the teaching, then let's support the teachers. I love performing arts. I write plays. I write poetry. So what we need to start doing is find out what Brother Travis needs. Find out what we can do as a community, as a faith-based community, as a community at large, to help him to go forward and push his programs forward. Because as you know, if we don't create our own program, they won't be created. We cannot wait on other people to dictate to us how to raise and educate our children. We must take the initiative and the God-given authority that we have, and we must teach our children the pass down the mantles that God has given unto us. And if we want our children to have the best opportunity to be balanced, to be whole, to be healthy, then we want to place our children where they can get the love, the nurturing, the biblical principles, that line up with what we believe. We can't tell our children at home, you know, we do not allow foul language, and then they go to a daycare where they walking around with a little five-year-old saying F you or calling the lady a B, or, you know, you can't, you know, how is your child going to understand that, you know, they can't come in and hit another child because they won't share a toy? You know, if they've got the daycare provider's child is running around hitting everybody, taking everything. So, you know, we have to do what we can. We have to do everything that we can to make sure that our babies make it, because this world is stacked against them. The devil doesn't want them to succeed, and this society doesn't want them to succeed. But we know that can't nobody count our babies out when God has counted our babies in. But it's up to us to protect them. It's up to us to do our due diligence. And I'm going to take a moment, because when I'm asked for prayer, I am led by the Spirit of God, and we are going to have a word of prayer. First and foremost, most gracious and heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this young man, Brother Corey Travis. We just pray right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you would go before him in all that he does. Father God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would just bless him, pressed down, shaken together until running over, because, Father God, we can hear his compassion. We can hear his heart. We can hear, Lord God, how much he wants to bless these young people with more than just a gift or a talent that can be learned. He wants them, Lord, to know you. He wants them, Lord, to understand that there is something greater than their existence. There is something greater than their environment. There is something greater than what their eyes can see and their ears can hear. So, Lord, provide his every need according to his, your riches and glory. I pray right now in the name of Jesus for Mother Mattie, for Mother Givens, for Deacon Bradley, for Deacon Simpkins, for all, for Sister Barbara, for all of our family and friends, Lord God, that are here with us tonight, because we are one body in Christ. Lord, we don't care about the name of the that's on the plaque on the door. We are your people, and we come together in love, come together praying for one another, honoring one another, believing in one another, and holding each other up in these hard and difficult times. Lord, I pray that you provide for our elders. Bless them, Lord God, as they bless us with their wisdom, as they bless us with their love and compassion, as they bless us, Father God, just with their very presence. I pray that you would allow them, Lord, to pour their wisdom, continue to pour their wisdom into us. And, oh, God, I pray right now for every person within the sound of my voice that may be sick tonight, may be in pain, Father God. We know that you have said, by your stripes we are healed. We know that you are Jehovah Rapha, the healer, Father God, and we know that it is not your will for us to suffer in any way. So, Father God, I pray that you open up your mighty hand, pour out your balm of Gilead, hallelujah, wherever there is a hurt, Lord God, whether it is in mind, body, or spirit, I pray that you touch it right now, Lord, because we know that all it takes is one touch from you, oh God. I want to thank you for my beautiful sister, Evangelist Michelle, and her husband, Pastor Jeffrey. I thank you for my wonderful family, Father God, and I keep them lifted up. I keep Mother lifted up. I keep my friend, Sister Charlotte, lifted up. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah. We know what you stand in the need of. God. You sit high and you look low, and you know all about it, Lord God. You said, Lord God, that you would never leave us or forsake us. You said, Lord God, that you would never leave us comfortless, Father. Father God. So I ask that you comfort the bereaved right now, right in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord God, for traveling grace. I pray, Lord God, for every person right now who is feeling depressed or though they are less, Father God, raise them up. I pray right now in the name of Jesus for every daycare provider, every after-school provider, Lord God, every parochial school, every public school, every private school, Lord God, we pray that you would set watch, Lord, and that there would be parents, Lord God, that would be mindful, and they would be the gatekeepers, and they would be alert, Father God, because you told us in your holy word to watch, fight, and pray, and we will fight for our babies, Father God, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord God, we just pray that you just continue to give these teachers a heart of compassion. Give them a heart of mercy. Give them, Lord God, wisdom, discernment, knowledge, and understanding to be effective for these young people so that they can grow into the people that you want them to become. Lord God, I thank you for every person present here today. I thank you for the Holloways, Father God. I pray that you just continue to bless them. Bless their goings out and their comings in. Touch their bodies, Lord, and continue to strengthen them so that they might do the work that you have called them to do. We just thank you in advance, Lord God, for every ministry represented here, every gift represented here, every talent represented here, Lord God, because we know it all comes from you. We know that every good and perfect gift comes from you, including our children. So, Father God, we just thank you for it all. We glorify you right now because you are so good. And yes, you are so worthy of our glory and our praise. Lord, we just magnify you right now in Jesus' name. Let the church of God say amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thanks. Now, hallelujah. Amen. Now, Brother Corey, I want you to tell us what we as a community, as a whole, at large, can do to help you if there is anything we can do. Do you have fundraisers? Do you have drives? Are you collecting things for theater props? What are you doing that we can do to help?
I am doing everything. Right now we're kind of in a struggle of trying to maintain a facility. So we are collecting donations to help us move to another facility. I found a couple of places that we can go. But outside of that, we're always collecting tangible things. If you have old instruments, if you have drums, or if you have anything that we could use in the field of cheerleading pom-poms or liturgical outfits, our dance team does praise dances. If you have flags, I mean, the list goes on. You have brooms and vacuums.
So, in other words, you said go in your closet and see what you have in hand, huh?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
That is usable. Look, they need usable stuff, children. Don't just go in there and just get out anything. Give them something that you would want.
Right.
Don't give them that you don't want.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Word of mouth.
Yeah.
Tell somebody else about us. Send them to our website. Search us on Google. The more people know about what we're doing, the more we can get the word out and have others doing it. And
well, darling, why don't you go ahead
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Make sure you give it. You said go to the website. We need the website address, precious one. You may do that. This is your time to shine. Tell us how to reach you, how to reach out and touch you.
Okay. We are Memphis Youth Arts Initiative. Our website is memphisyoutharts.org. That's memphisyoutharts.org. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok as well. The Kids Management TikTok. If you ever need to call and inquire, our number is 901-581-3511.
Amen. Okay, he put it out there, y'all. I don't want to hear what Bishop, we didn't know how to find him. He just told you how to find him. Amen. I want to thank the young people that were in the chat rooms tonight. You guys were awesome. Oh, Corey, you got a lot of big ups, a lot of big thumbs up from the chat rooms tonight. We have a lot of young, we have a group of young people that were listening tonight. They're down in Pensacola, Florida. And so they were listening as a group, and they just wanted me to, the leader just wanted me to let you know that they think what you're doing is awesome. And they just wanted to say God bless you. So God bless you, Corey.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Amen. Well, hallelujah. What a wonderful program. I want to thank, as always, my beautiful sister and co-host, Evangelist Michelle Scott. I want to thank our young brother, this dynamo, this for the kingdom, Brother Minister Corey Travis. I want to just thank you for coming on and telling us about yourself. And any time that you are doing an event or you're preparing, please let your Spirit Alive family know so that we can help you to get the word out. I would also like to thank all my beautiful Spirit Alive family that was present and our wonderful, wonderful Good Shepherd family and friends that came over today. We just want to say thank you. We love you. We pray that God will continue to bless you in all that you do, that you acknowledge him in all things. And from our household to your household, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you all, saints. We love you. Good night, everybody. Love you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Love you. Love you. Good night.
Good night.